This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Now, we know him as a commanding presence on some of the biggest stages in the world, the Phantom of the Opera, Les Mis, and more. But behind the soaring vocals and spotlights, Josh Pitterman has been on a much deeper, more personal journey. His new book, Behind the Mask, is a reflection of that journey. And today, Josh joins us to talk about why he wears masks, or does he still wear masks? We're going to find out about that, how we take them off, and what it means to live more fully and truthfully. Josh, welcome to Drive.
Thank you so much for having me.
Before we get into the book, yes, we're going to talk about this little ball of fluff that you've got with you at the moment. Tell us about that.
We have Ziggy.
Ziggy!
Who's my eight-week-old cavoodle.
Oh.
And she is divine. She made her TV debut today on ABC Breakfast Telly.
Oh, did she?
She nailed it. Yeah, she just sat there sleeping the whole time. And she's just divine. She's just an angel. And, you know, I've just got so much love in my heart. I had to share it with something.
Oh, we're so glad that you're
single guy. Yeah. Has to give his love to someone.
They're great conversation starters, though, don't you think?
Oh, my God. She's a chick magnet.
Is it working?
Probs. Probs. It's only 2 days in. No one's sliding into the DMs yet.
Yeah. Okay. Now, we've worked in an industry that's all about performance and perfection. How did that shape your writing of the book?
Perfectionism.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's something that I've had to have a real dance with over the years because on one hand, I'm really grateful for perfectionism because it's led me to want to be better, to strive for more, to improve, especially vocally. Every little detail, every little nuance that I could better myself at, I strove for. And I go, thank you, perfectionism. And on the other hand, I've had to go, screw you, perfectionism, because you've made me so anxious about being perfect out there. And I'm a human being. I'm inherently imperfect. And it's taken me, you know, sort of my whole 20-year career to really learn to sit in the imperfections, to lead with imperfection, almost go out on stage and want for the imperfection. Because, you know, perfectionism it's a funny one. You know, when something's perfect, it's done, right? Mm. And the only other thing in our life that's done is death, you know? So, one would argue that a obsession with perfectionism is actually a obsession with death.
The reason I ask you that is because we're talking about your book, Behind the Mask. Mm. Do you reckon to be perfect, you need several masks up?
Yeah, and then you're hiding all the imperfections that lay buried beneath those masks. But we're all doing it in some way or another, unless we have a really loving, contented, equanimous, peaceful relationship with our authentic, true self, the one that's buried beneath the many, many masks we all wear. And masks aren't the devil. They're not evil. And that's the thing I talk about in the book.
Do they protect us?
Yeah, they do protect us at times, you know. Like, I talk about vulnerability in the book, and vulnerability is wonderful. You know, we want to be able to share the candid, the messy, the ugly, the imperfect, but only if we're safe to do so, you know. Otherwise, vulnerability can be really, really weaponized against us. So masks are there, but it's about, are the masks the master of us? Are we wearing them consciously? Or are we totally unconscious in our wearing them? And are we wearing them for extrinsic validation that we're not even aware of? Mm. Or are we and we're wearing that mask and someone goes, oh, that mask is beauty, or that mask is fame, or that mask is wealth, and you get complimented for it, so you want to keep on wearing that mask. Or maybe that mask is there to cover up a lot of pain underneath. And so the mask is useful if the mask is worn consciously.
So that, talking about vulnerability, was there a moment in your career that where you felt like perhaps you were a failure, but it turned out to be essential for your growth?
Oh, many, Many. I remember there was and you carry so much shame in those stories, and you have to work through that shame. I remember I was playing the Phantom in London, on the West End, and it was the birthday show. So it's 2019. Big show. So that's 33rd anniversary of the show, and I was a little bit under. I was a little bit sick, and on any other day, I probably would have said no. I'll take the night off. But the big wigs were all in, and they hadn't seen me do the show yet. And I really wanted to, you know, prove myself. I wanted to show them that I was worthy of them. I was worthy of wearing this mask, so to speak. And as they were putting my makeup on in the chair, I could just feel my voice going. And not just because I was ill, but because I was shitting myself about being ill and sort of the physical manifestation of my psychological state.
You were willing it to happen.
Almost willing it, almost self-sabotaging, almost, you know, all that fear, you know, not speaking my truth. You know, if we talk about it from an energetic level or yogic level or chakra sort of perspective, you know, the throat chakra is all blocked up, you know, and some people go, that's woo-woo, but everyone's felt that frog in the throat or the grapefruit in the throat where you can't really say what you need to say. And I wanted to say, I'm really sick and I can't do this. And I was too scared to say that because I didn't want to feel like a failure.
Did you want to keep everyone else happy?
And I wanted to placate. I wanted everyone to be happy. I want everyone to love me. I wanted to be validated. So, there's ego involved and there's placating involved and appeasing involved. There's a whole sort of mishigas of things cooking up there. And so, I went out and I just did the worst first act you could possibly do. I was, you know, cracking all over the place. I could barely sing music of the night. It was, I just bombed out there and I was so devastated. It came off after act one and the creative team ran into the dressing room. They're like, are you all right? Are you all right? In the end, they decided that I had to put the understudy on for act two. And I just left the building in an Uber and just cried my way home, had a panic attack on my way home. And I just felt like such a failure. The shame in me was just, it was just churning. And then imposter syndrome then kicks in. Because even though, you know, like I got emails from the company the next day, you know, Cameron and the team are going to come back and see you. We all know you're wonderful. You know, when you're confidence is really down low and your expectations are really up high and your competency is somewhere in the middle, that's where imposter syndrome lives, you know? And so, my expectations were so high. I was trying to be perfect and I was a failure. And so, suddenly, my confidence was just, right down low. And it took a while to come back to the show after that illness and to sort of untangle that.
Yeah. We're chatting with Josh Pitterman, a star of Phantom of the Opera, Les Mis, and now author of Behind the Mask. Josh,
I share that story in the book and other stories of a similar nature. They're quite vulnerable and candid anecdotes.
I like that vulnerability, though. If we mention vulnerability, and you mentioned energy and it getting stuck in the throat chakra as well, if we look at vulnerability and the amount of energy required to be vulnerable compared to the amount of energy required to maintain a mask or several masks, for example, it's a difference, isn't it? There's a lot of
huge difference. I know exactly what you're saying, and one speaks to suppression and repression, and how many of our LGBTQIA+ community have had to repress and suppress on their journey, you know, and how painful that was. Did they feel ill from it? You know, physically draining, the stress of that, you know, appeasing others because we can't be, or we're not comfortable, or we're too scared, too fearful to be our absolute authentic self around others, others who are going to judge, others who are going to cast aspersions or whatever. And, you know, I'm straight, but it doesn't, but what I'm talking about is the human condition of suppressing what you're really feeling. And so, that ability to be vulnerable and to really share candidly, for me in this book, because I feel safe to do it. And as I always talk about, vulnerability must be met with safety or else it is dangerous. That ability, it's just like a releasing of the shackles. But more importantly, the stories that I'm sharing and the themes that I'm talking about in the book are so universal that I feel like the book is really just a mirror for everyone else on their journey. Readers just get to feel seen and heard and acknowledged and appreciated and loved, for God's sake, loved in their story. And that's where the power is, you know.
What I find ironic is you've played characters who literally wear masks.
I know.
Like I talk about the Phantom. Yeah. I mean, did stepping into those roles ever feel kind of personal.
Yeah.
Because you've got a mask on.
Yeah, totally. And the irony of all this is not lost on me, you know. Mm. It was in playing the Phantom and sort of working up to that mountain and climbing that's where the real introspection came for me, because I remember sitting there with imposter syndrome, with this feeling of unworthiness, this feeling of not enoughness, you know, a little bit of performance anxiety and need to control things and a fear of being rejected, placating, all these things, still a scarcity mindset in some ways, and going, I've hit the top. Will this neurosis about all these things ever end? Do I need to climb another mountain, wear another mask, a better mask? And it just occurred to me really in that if I keep chasing in the external world for validation, if all my validation is going to come extrinsically, it's never, ever going to be enough.
So, someone else saying you're okay as opposed to you saying you're okay, you're enough.
It's got to be intrinsic. That love and that appreciation has to be intrinsic. Mm. Until I could feel enough within myself, until I could love myself as nobody, then I was never going to love myself as a somebody.
What would you say to someone who's listening who says, you know what, I'm, you know, and I've been in this boat.
We all have.
A people pleaser, where you're so concerned about the other person's happiness and satisfaction, and you put that before your own, and therefore there's that energy cost that you're talking about. What would you say to someone who's struggling with saying no even, or look, I don't want to do that, or expressing the way they're really feeling? What's a good way to go about doing it?
Yeah, so I always sit in meditation.
Okay.
And when people think about meditation, you know, they're thinking about, oh, you got to, you know, follow your breath, or you know, follow that mantra, or, you know, whatever, it'll be guided. I'm saying sit in stillness and pose the scenario into your, visualize the scenario where you confront this person.
Mm.
Play it out. Experience it in your body first. Experience it in your mind first. Experience it in your heart first. Yeah. And also experience what happens if you don't do it. What's the feeling? What does the body feel like? The body always keeps the score. It's always telling us. And I think when we're scared to do something, I talk about a lot in this book, we have to play it out in our own psyche first, in our own visualization first, and feel into how it feels like. And that's really helped me along the way. But also, when it comes to placating, in the end, no one suffers more than the individual who is placating. And we know that, you know. So, love everyone and tell the truth, as my guru Ram Dass would say.
I love it. In your book, you also talk about trying to figure out who you really are. Was there a period where you pulled down the masks? Mm. You realize you've got these masks, you pull them down, and you felt a bit scared. But did you have to find yourself, or did you know exactly who you were once you took them down?
Look, I've been meditating for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'd certainly felt what it's like to just sit as awareness, in awareness, as a conscious being, experiencing my thoughts, experiencing my feelings, experiencing my emotions, my sensations, you know, experiencing the narrative in my head, rather than identifying as those thoughts or those feelings, those narratives or those sensations. And so, what happens is when we are stuck in a narrative, which we all get stuck in narratives about certain things, the distance between the narrative and our true nature, our awareness or our consciousness or soul or whatever you want to call that, is very little. It's almost stuck to it. It's like glued to it. When we meditate or practice anything that brings us into stillness and presence, it creates space between the true nature and the ego or the narrative or whatever you want to call it. And so you feel like, oh, God, this is truth. This is me. This is beautiful. This is peaceful.
The excitement in your face as you say it. It's like a relief.
It's a relief. It's a contentment. Ooh. It's what I describe in the book as the feeling of ananda. It's a Sanskrit word, which means bliss in the English translation. But bliss is a very simple English way to describe it, because we see bliss as a feeling. In Sanskrit, ananda is a state, right? A state that is consistent, a state that is grounded, safe, secure, peaceful, contented, equanimous. And that's where we're at home. We should all be able to feel that. And yet, because of life and projections and this thing called being a human being, we step in and out of it, and life becomes a dance between that which is human and that which is consciousness or awareness.
For those who read the book Behind the Mask, will you assist them to reach that state?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because as you were describing it, I was thinking, I want to get sitting there. Here going, oh my goodness, I want to get there. How do we get there now?
Yeah.
Give me a pill. But there's no pill.
There's an inward journey, you know, and we're doing a lot of outward journey in this world, but there's an inward journey to go on, and we need to turn attention inwards or turn awareness inwards. So the book is a mirror, as I said, but it's also a map. Mm. It's full of very tangible, very practical, very accessible tools to cultivate presence and self-awareness and self-inquiry. And so it's a roadmap you can go back to time and time again. There's little journal entries, there's meditations, there's breathwork exercises, all sorts of things that I've done along the way, and all sorts of ideas about other things you can do, and post things around men's and women's circles, lots of therapy, really, methods for therapy beyond, you know, our knowledgeable Western ones of, which is wonderful too, talk therapy, seeing a psych, whatever. There's things that you can do just in your own space.
Josh, we're running out of time, but before we go, let's go back to that time in London where you were sick and the understudy had to come on and take over for the second part. Are you glad that happened now?
Absolutely, I'm glad it happened. Because, I mean, I think we get... When we deal with suffering, we feel like, you know, it's all happening to us. This is all happening to us. But really, it's all happening for us. And if you can see your suffering as a teacher, then you will only ever grow from it.
Mm.
And anything that's sticky, anything that's yucky, any discomfort, any crisis, any fear that you walk through rather than around, over, under, you walk through, that's where you grow from. Yeah. So it's essential.
Love it. Behind the Mask. It's available now. Thank you so much, Josh.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
And thank you. What's the dog's name again?
Oh, Ziggy.
Ziggy, what a great name. Thank you, Ziggy, for coming in, the star of the show. That was Josh Bitterman, Australian music theatre star and now author of Behind the Mask.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.